You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stifles knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Planned a party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, Marco. It's TJ again this week. Oh, you footers out there, we got a great show for you this week. That we doing, Marco?
We sure do. We sure do.
Outstanding. Folks, we're gonna be going out to New Hampshire. We're getting up to our favorite family in Pennsylvania. We're going to hit over in Kentucky tonight with William and the curator of the Bigfoot Museum down there, the Historical Society. We're actually going to go all the way back to Francis in Montana. And then at the end of our show, we're going to pick up a little bit about the expedition that we just finished up on. So I want to go directly out to Jim. So let me give you a little background on Jim. We met back in 2007 at a I think we called it parafooting, where we had folks that would come out, learn about Bigfoot, and learn about ghost hunting at the same time. And we had our first encounter when we were out there in Paris, Texas together. It was a horrible night. We were there on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and a Monday, where we would actually teach people topographical maps, reading the map, what kind of signs to look for the creature. And then Jimmy would, you know, talk a little bit about the ghost hunting and his paranormal business that he had back then. Jimmy, you out there with us?
Yeah. Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. I mean, let me tell you, Seeing you here a few weeks ago was just one heck of a night, one heck of a weekend,
awesome.
Actually.
Yeah, that was awesome, man. Yep, I miss going out, and I don't get out to the field as much as I'd like to anymore, and it was unbelievable to have you guys come out this way, because it's unfortunately a rare thing to get reports around here up in this area, but you guys being here has brought a couple of stories to light that I'd never heard before, and who knows, we may yield something out of it.
Well, I mean, who would figure that, you know, the person that gave us the sightings that we came up to see would live only, what, 20 minutes away from you? I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable. As a matter of fact, I mean, we have friends in common and everything. I'd never met him, but yeah, it's a small world, especially up here.
Well, I'll tell you, folks, and it is a small world up there. I mean, I'm trying to think what's one of the biggest stores that I saw in the area that I could let folks know that I don't think there was anything. You know, I don't. The pizza joint was just a mom and pop pizza joint. This is true down home America. Okay, there's no giant box stores, no 7-Elevens, no Domino's Pizza. You know, it's pretty much mom and pop, true American owned businesses. You know, by individuals. Is that about right, Jimmy?
Yeah. It's you know, we may be a little behind the times, but that's the way we like it.
Well, you know, God, I'm telling you, buddy, coming up there and seeing you and Ann and being able to get back out on expeditions again and do our thing that we do, you know, just it brought back a lot of good memories from the past, and we're going to have to definitely do it again. But to talk about the, you know, the expeditions when we were down there, let's talk a little bit about our neighbor down the road and, you know, what he had seen. And what we figured out was going on down there. I'll let you start off.
Yeah, well, we got turned on to the story on the news, actually, the local news here in New Hampshire. And then we got it all together. I met with him, and we put it together to come out and check it out. He's got a heck of a piece of property over there. It's just vast, and, you know, it's they got some caves. It's I'm sure you agree, TJ, it was a pretty interesting piece of property.
Well, I mean, the story behind it, I mean, just in the beginning, I mean, I'm trying to remember the name of the president that lived there. Was it Taft? Is that what he said?
I don't remember either, but I want to say it would probably be Franklin Pierce, because Franklin Pierce is from the area. I mean, from probably five to 10 miles away from where he lives. So that would be my guess, but I would have to double check on it. But it's New England, so there's a lot of old pieces of property. There's a lot of old mines out this way that have been, you know, abandoned for hundreds of years, you know.
Well, we were out there in the woods there. I don't know where we were at, but we were doing that long hike, and we passed that one pond that basically nothing lived in except for tadpoles, and then we got down to where we were coming down the hill, and off to the right we noticed this big old hole in the ground. And then in the middle of that hole in the ground was a root cellar.
Yep.
There was no structure. But we looked at the size of it. Folks, I got to tell you, whoever owned this house, I'm guessing, Jimmy, it was 300 years old. Is that about right?
Oh, yeah. That's colonial days kind of stuff.
Okay.
You know,
there were trees coming up through the bottom of this thing. So those trees must have been 100 years, 150 years old, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and you'll find places like that all throughout New England. I mean, there's still little villages still. Matter of fact, there's a few that still have buildings standing, believe it or not. You know, there's some brick buildings and things like that. So there's a lot of places that are forgotten about in the middle of the woods that you wouldn't know about unless you are into going to those places. Maybe if you're into metal detecting or if you're into hunting, you're going to come across that kind of stuff too. And I'm into all three of those things. So, you know, I find...
Yes, you are. So in the beginning of the show, you said a couple other stories have been brought up around the area. What have you heard? Give us some juiciness.
Yeah, well, you know, I want to do some fact checking and talk to some of the witnesses. But a friend of mine, probably from about an hour or so from where I live, has some stories from probably about 10 years ago, and I'd like to talk to some of the people that, because they're very similar stories. You know, it seems like it's mostly revolving around a juvenile size at that time. So, you know, it is kind of an old story, but there have been some recent, including my buddy who turned me on to these people, reports of howling, strange noises, and things that sound pretty heavy moving past campsites and that kind of thing. There is a big bear population up here, too. So, you know, unless somebody lays eyeballs on something, you never know. It's probably, I would assume a bear, but you never know, you know. So I'm going to talk to some of these people, and I'm actually going to do some hunting, some deer hunting this fall out in this area. It's a big, like the area that we went through when we were riding the Wildcat, that's like a big logging area. They own thousands and thousands of acres, and they come in and they'll log a little chunk of it at a time, you know, every other year or something they'll log an area. And that's kind of what this area here is that we're talking about, where these different sightings and noises have come from. So I'm going to get in there and do some deer hunting this year too, and really get deep in there and see if I can find anything.
Well, you know, when you bring up the bears, and I go back to our investigation there, and I almost want to say that it might have been a little misidentification, but you know, when you hear about the noises it was making, or the pathway that it was leaving, you know, 3 to 5 foot off the ground through the low brush, it makes you kind of change your mind, but you never know. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, you know what? Here's something that, DJ, I forgot until this very second to tell you about that very same area. I had a buddy of mine that I went to high school with contact me and tell me that him and another friend of mine from high school, again, this was years ago, but the same area, the same property area, had seen something. They said it was a Bigfoot. They said they saw a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch. And, you know, this was, you know, years ago. But if there's a migratory trail, you know, if it's moving back and forth, I mean, I myself would think that if they do migrate, then you're going to want to get out of the south this time of year.
Yeah, you know, and you obviously know about the heat. We were out there together, and compared to, you know, Florida and Alabama and, let's see, Kentucky and Indiana, all the way up to where you were at, there must have been a 40-degree difference.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, there's even a 10-degree difference between my house and where we were at the site, just because I'm more elevated. You know, I'm up on a mountaintop. So it's, you know, you get that huge variation in temperature with elevation.
Well, you know, talk about migration. I mean, the border from you is, what was it, 100 miles to the Canadian border is where it was, did you say?
Between 100 and 125, maybe something like that.
Right. And folks, just to give you an idea, he's out in the middle of the woods, okay? And behind his house are woods and forests and rivers and creeks and ponds. And I'm trying to think where we were going, if they could migrate through that area unimpeded all the way up to that border from behind where you live. What do you think?
Well, you know, part of Scott's story, the guy who had the sighting and who we visited his property, part of his story was that there was a sighting, again, years ago. You know, some of these stories are a little old, but, you know, if it's a trail, it's a trail. In a farm that is actually in the back of those woods that you were just talking about. So this whole area, these logging areas, like I said, they come in, they'll clear, you know, 100 acres maybe every couple of years, and it brings out all the wildlife. It's, you know, brings out all the coyotes, it brings out all the deer, the moose, everything travels through these cuts. So,
sure.
You know, why wouldn't you?
Why
know,
wouldn't you? Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? You know?
Yeah. You know, Jimmy, it's been a pleasure, and just just getting up to see you and talking to you again. You know, everybody out there that's been from the old days remembers who you are. If you guys are at our Searching for Bigfoot Facebook page, you're going to see us in our uniforms. We're all there together. Jimmy's going to be that good-looking guy over to the right, standing behind him. So all you single women, oh, that's right, you're married. I can't say that.
Yeah, but that was great, man. And I'm going to continue. I'm going to keep in touch with Scott Lucas too. And you know, when he has something going on over there, I'll take a ride down and take a look. You know.
Okay. You know, folks, Jim Snell from New Hampshire, he's going to keep us up to date with what's going on in the area. I promised him I'd get him on early because he has to be up in about 5 hours to go to work. So, Jimmy, stay good, stay cool, and keep putting.
All right, brother, we'll talk to you soon.
Marco, let's go to commercial, and we'll pick up with our favorite family up there in Pennsylvania.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot Lives, a movie at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
Hey, folks. Awesome. Folks, give you a little update here. Our family in Pennsylvania, that's Kevin, Amber, and Robin, about 3 weeks ago, this is the third week they're going to be on the show, and to be frank and honest, you know, we normally don't have somebody that has constant encounters, so this is a treat, folks. They own some property in Pennsylvania, up in the woods where, I guess, many Mennonites and Amish people live, so it's very rural. They have horses on their farm, and so early beginning of last month, they found some strange markings of a whole bunch of trees that were snapped off at around 5 or 6 feet tall in a rope on their land, and one of their horses was missing, and they were out looking for the mare, I think it was, and they started finding all these foot tracks out in the their pasture, so they were kind of curious. So they got online, and they did their research, and, well, they got a hold of us, and it started there. Now, since last week, where they lost the mare and they had the creature that stepped over the barbed wire fence, when Amber was out there, because she was looking for the horse, but she saw this shadow figure, and then as she was going towards the figure thinking it was the horse, they called from over on the right saying that they had found the horse, so she was a little scared. And I want to pick us back right up to Pennsylvania, where I got Kevin. Kevin, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here tonight.
Wow. You know, the pictures I was sent yesterday blew my mind away. You can actually see the toe prints. You can see where the splay and the mud has come up between the toes of this creature. Now, why don't you go ahead and fill us in, get us going, and then we'll start with each picture.
Okay. Originally, how we decided to go out and start looking, the horses that you had been mentioning, on, I believe it was Thursday, we were having some problems getting the horses to come in the barn. It was getting late, and some of the horses were there waiting. A couple came in a little straggling, and then there was a couple that refused to come in. In fact, when we got some of the horses in, our two-year-old colt was going a little bonkers trying to get him into the stall. And my wife was trying to get one of the other horses in, and another horse came out behind her and actually broke through the stall door to get into her stall. My wife ended up hurting her arm and everything because of it. Our last two, the one that we always call Raven and the mare that kind of bonded with him, did not want to come in. So I'm trying to have my wife and daughter wait at the barn to make sure all the other horses stayed where they were supposed to. And I went out in the dark with no flashlight trying to find my other horses. And they were at the very, very end of the pasture. They did not want to come in. And when I saw them, I tried to get them to come, and they ran past me like they were going to run back to the barn. Next thing you know, they're running back to where they were again. So I had to backtrack to the back of the pasture. And our one horse, Raven, kept snorting and everything else. And next thing you know, I said, look, you guys get back to the barn. And he tried to run me over. And if I hadn't dodged in time, he would have trampled me trying to go past me. And they finally got him into the barn. The next day, I told my friend who owned the horse that busted the door apart that he needed to come over and help me to repair the door. And we decided to go out and see if there was any other new prints out there, and maybe that was why the horses were acting up. And sure enough, we found two different sets of prints. There was some of the prints that we had pictures of, the ones that you mentioned in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually see the toe marks, and like the mud was squished between the toes. It was really a cool shot, at least I thought it was. And it's at least 15 inches long. There is a picture also of the same print, but what we did is my friend and I wanted to show the distance between the different prints to show the distance of striding. So you'll see my friend standing right next to where there is a print. And then you might see my foot at the other spot in the very corner to show where the other print is that had the mud squished between the toes.
Now, I'm looking at that. I'm guessing 5 to 6 feet on the stride. Am I close?
It's very close. It's at least 6 feet, I'm guessing. I need to get a ruler out there or tape measure, but I'm thinking it's got to be at least 6 feet in length, because it looked almost like it might have been running, and maybe my being out there could have spooked it, or the horses, or the
chasing the horse.
Yeah, I hope I wasn't going to try to get them, but anyway, the other track, to me, I don't know if it's human, or if it's a young creature, I don't know. It's a very small track, but it's a definite footprint that's very human in shape, and it's a bare footprint, not...
Well, let me ask you this, Kevin. On the smaller track, were there any of the bigger tracks near it or around it?
Yes. Yep, there were.
So almost as if
it was maybe
following...
Pardon?
So maybe it was following its mother?
It's possible. as possible. I really don't know. I'm kind of guessing that might be it. I don't know why or who would be out there in the middle of the night going around with bare feet.
Crazy people, but, you know, I don't think you have any of those around you, right?
No people.
But if they're out there, hey, more power to them, but...
I'd like to see one.
But anyway, the difference in distance between the two variations of the tracks, I'm guessing maybe 3 to 4 yards apart. So
are they walking beside, behind, in front of?
The one, it was like they're walking toward each other. The way the tracks looked, like they were coming toward each other.
Like a mother going out and saying, "Hey, come here, young man. You're out here too long in the dark. Or you're going to be, you know, getting in trouble." And it's coming back towards them.
Yeah,
wow.
And spray off them horses. You're not old enough to ride yet. I don't know. But like I said, it was an interesting thing. And when we mentioned earlier, and I think I did, when we found that the can was missing that we told you about that we put the peanut butter on, there was a broken tree a short distance from where the can was taken. But it was a dead tree. So I don't know if it broke on its own or it had a little help, but it wasn't broke off, but it was bent over, and it was actually in the opposite direction of where the others were.
Okay, so now I want to take folks back to the very first week when we talked, and you had the four trees that were all snapped in the same direction. At or about the same height. How far was this new track from that? And were they going in the direction as if when the trees are bent over, that's the direction in which I would say their migratory path would be. So if they left such a big marker saying, let's go this way. And could these tracks be other creatures and not the ones that were originally encountered 3 weeks ago?
The other track, the first ones that we saw, seemed to be a different size, but the toes looked different. It had like 3, maybe 4 toes. At least that's what it looked like.
I remember you saying that, yeah.
These here look to have 4 or 5 toes to them. So I don't know if I'm guessing maybe different ones. The first one was a little bit bigger in size, but not as big as the ones we saw the other day that were about 15 inches. They're a little bit bigger than the small track in the picture, but it's a definite difference in size.
Now, to my original question, was the way the trees were bent, were the tracks going in the direction that the trees were bent or in the direction that the limbs were laying down?
The first track and the last one that's small were going in the direction the trees were bent.
Okay. So the reason why I'm doing this, I'm talking to you about this so much, Kevin, and so you folks out there listening listen to our show, I'm trying to get Kevin to figure out to where he's going to be next and where the tracks are going to be based on the markers in the direction in which they're traveling. Because my theory, which, you know, unless you see Bigfoot do it, you don't really know. But my theory is this, that they leave these markers so that the other groups that are migrating and moving through areas, number one, know it's safe. Number two, they can know which direction to go into. So, for example, he has 4 trees that are broken. They're all next to each other. You can't miss these 4 trees. They're all pointing in one certain direction. So the next group of creatures that might be migrating through follow these trees. So what I'm trying to get you to talk about now, Kevin, is I would like for you this next week, if if you're able to move in that direction without, you know, impeding on somebody else's property, I would like for you to go the opposite direction of where the trees are pointing and go see if there's anything else broken for a marker to tell them where to go next. Because if they're in between those areas, then you know where to be looking all next week.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'll definitely go out there.
You know,
is property that's all woods, and there's a stream that runs down through there, some hunting trails and things. And I know there's...
Okay, so wait a minute. I got to stop you because you threw a quirk in me. There's a stream on the other side over there?
Yes, down in the woods.
Wow. Okay, because these creatures normally would migrate and move up and down the river areas, okay? It's like their highway. So my theory is that the trees are pointing them to the creek or the stream, and then they're going to hit that stream, and they're going to go left or right. So when you're looking, you need to go up and down that stream looking for other markers or even maybe even prints.
Okay.
You get my drift?
I'll go down and see what I can find. But it's all wooded in that area. There's no houses in that area, so...
Wow.
But, I did notice, like, they used to, a long time ago, must have had a logging trail through there. And over the stream is this old, like, a metal culvert thingy. It's like, they made, like, a bridge, and it's all dilapidated and stuff. And I don't know if anything might be hiding under there. I'll look and see. But I didn't even think about it.
Huh. Wow. Well, we're, you know, since this is happening and it's you know, habituation, it's over and over and over, you obviously have something going on there. And my theory, which I've been thinking on, first of all, since the beginning of this week was, since I got the pictures, is that you've got like a migrational highway there, okay? And
that
these creatures,
cool.
Oh, yeah, it would be. These creatures know they're safe, know they're not going to be harmed, and they can move right across your land. From the markers of the trees that they had snapped over, now that I'm hearing about the creek, they're getting to the creek and they're going either left or right or crossing the creek and going somewhere else. But knowing what I've known and the tracks that I've trailed through the woods and through the forest is whenever they hit a creek or a stream, they hook it. They go left or they go right because it's an easier path than trying to break brush. Okay? Remember, all animals are going to, you know, just like humans, are going to seek the least plane of existence, okay? If I can go walk through this big clear cut, or do I have to go through all these thorn needle bushes? I'm going through the clear cut. And smart animals, whether they're smart or stupid, do it also, unless they're being chased and they're trying to hide, obviously. You know what I mean?
Right. I know the deer do it all the time.
Right. So has Amber heard anything else? Because I know she's heard some noises. Has anything happened with her since our last conversation?
She said no. She's listening in. She said no.
Okay. And how about your wife, Robin? Has she heard or seen anything?
You heard anything?
Last night, maybe. I wasn't sure.
I don't know if you can hear her.
I do.
She wasn't sure of a possibility of last night, but she wasn't sure.
You've got to get out and do some wood knocking, like I told you guys.
Yeah, we did do some. The first time, my wife said she heard one knock in response. Since then, I have not heard any.
Now, was it a one knock because of they hit once and then she hit once, or she hit once, they hit once? Could have been an echo, or did she hit three times and then get a one back?
She was out with me, and I hit a tree just once. And then she heard the response. I couldn't hear it. My hearing's not that great.
I understand.
She said that she thought she heard one knock in response. I don't believe it will be an echo. I could be wrong, but the way the trees are around here, there's hard to get much echoes around here.
Okay, awesome. Now, tell me about the bait in the can that was taken.
My daughter and I took a couple of soda cans, and we were mentioned that the creatures seem to like peanut butter,
Right.
So we were told to smear peanut butter all over the can and kick it at the bottom of the can and tie a string on it and hang it on a branch that was very thin, about 10 to 12 feet high. And this is something we did. We brought a ladder out into the woods with us, actually stood on the ladder and tied it to a very thin branch. The one can, we only hung two of them up. One can did come up missing, and the other one's still there.
One can's missing, like it was plucked and taken.
It must be. We thought, well, maybe because we had some rain, that maybe the rain went into the can and filled it up, pulled it off. But how could it do that?
Yeah.
It should have been laying on the ground, and it was not.
Right. So the can was gone. Now, let me ask you, when you tied the string, you put it through the tab, right?
Yes.
Is the tab still hanging up there?
Nope. The string and everything's gone, and everything was taken.
Okay. So we're 10 to 12 foot off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The string, the can are all gone.
Correct.
Yep.
And have you looked around to see if it's anywhere like within 50 to 100 feet?
We looked all over the ground. We couldn't find it at all.
Oh, my God. That's wow. Now, were there any tracks underneath the area where the cans was?
The tracks that we mentioned that we saw earlier that looked like they crossed the fence, those are the ones that we saw right after the can was taken.
Wow. So either you've got somebody playing with you, messing with your minds because they know that you know about Bigfoot, which I don't think it is, or you've got yourself a 100% migrational path. You're leaving them food. They're enjoying it. They feel that they're welcomed. This is exciting. This is really exciting. So who has the camera? Who takes the pictures?
My daughter and I both do.
Okay. So when you setting up your bait again this week, take pictures with your camera. Show us where you're at, the height, maybe stand underneath and point to it so that we can kind of get a general idea of where you're baiting, and then give us a direction of where the other prints that you're finding. How's that sound? Can we do that for this week?
Sure. Sure.
Awesome. You know, love to have you guys back next week if anything still happens. I know you're going to keep us updated and get stuff over to Marco Bill. We're going to move on to the next guest. I want to say thank you and your family, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Marco, let's go to a commercial, and we'll come back with William Trebell and the curator of the National Middlesboro Historic Society, where they've got the Bigfoot Museum.
Okay, and I need to check to see if Francis is on. Francis, are you on the line?
Yes, he's right here.
Okay, I'm going to just hang on, and I'm going to go to commercial. I'm going to mute you out, okay? You'll come on after the next guest.
Okay.
And here we go to commercial.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
And folks, our next guest is William Trammell from the National Historic Society of Millsboro. William has been the curator there now for, I want to say, 3-4 months. William called me. William, is that, am I right?
Yeah, since April.
Since April. William called me and said that he's going to be the new creator of the museum, and it got me thinking, you know, Kentucky, all the artifacts we have, you know, it's a no-brainer. We're going to induct everything that we have, and we're just going to keep it there at your museum. Go ahead and introduce yourself, William. Let everybody know what you're doing, and then we'll move on.
Absolutely. Well, I'm William Trammell. I am currently appointed executive director of the Bell County Historical Society and Museum in Middlesboro, Kentucky. And, yeah, and, well, what we're doing recently, we had you guys in searching for Bigfoot, and we had a little exhibit set up with all your items from Kentucky and then some things you guys had with you on your travel. And, yeah, and in the end, well, you tell them how that ended, TJ.
Well, you know, it's been quite a few years since 2008, since that Dyer Whitten debacle that we got involved in. And, well, you know, I had that suit that was being stashed there in Middlesboro, Kentucky, and it came to me that, well, I think it's time to take it out of storage and put it somewhere so people can see it. Now, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir. And that's what we did, and we still have the display up of all the evidence. We have some hair samples and a couple of sets of cast footprints from different areas of Kentucky, and yeah. But now the suit, man, the suit is it's drawing attention from all over, and of course, you know, the parents love to bring the kids, and some of the kids. They want to see it, but they're scared of it at the same time. I mean, it's an experience to see people react to this thing.
Now, folks, this suit was the suit that was put on eBay. That I don't see how it was put on eBay. It was probably another hoax by the Dyer people. And I think the bids got up to 300, close to 300,000, maybe 250. I can't remember. But I was thinking to myself, I was watching the eBay bidding auction going on. Was it 280? I'm thinking to myself, well, wow, how are they going to give this suit to anybody? Because I'm the one who has it. You know, it's in my possession, you know.
Right.
So, but this suit now, folks, the freezer suit is in Middlesboro, Kentucky, in Williams Museum. And William needs to watch people come out and see it. So tell them about the little exhibit that you got going on there.
Well, I think just to be clear about this suit, I mean, folks can Google and they can read the stories, and there was a lot of them written, and you get to see the photos, and of course the film you guys made, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, but this thing is 7'7", and wider than anybody I know. Like to say suit, I couldn't imagine the man who fit in it, and. It's an impressive sight to see, but yeah, and that's nestled in with it's sort of an odd juxtaposition of positioning, because it's in with the items from railroad engineering, you know, all these things of Middlesboro past and old history, and then you turn the corner and there's Foot, you know.
Yeah, that's just, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm going back to the time when we were involved in this, and, you know, we got hoaxed. But,
yeah,
to see this suit, folks, and I think you might even have it up on your historical page, Facebook or something, with you standing next to it, is that correct?
Absolutely. Actually, I posted on to there earlier this evening for people to tune in and listen to us right now. So there's a photo. Yeah.
How do folks get there to see it? Besides coming in person, which we want them to come to, don't we?
Right. Bell County Historical Society Facebook page.
That's there you go. And folks, it doesn't cost anything to get in. This museum has got so many artifacts from the past. We're talking the meteorite. What really intrigued me was the statue that was made out of wood. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, there are a few unique items like that we have possession of. And there is a wooden statue that was found in a cave in Pineville, which is a town in Bell County, Kentucky. And it is prehistoric. It predates Native American cult like Cherokee and whatnot. I am not sure off the top of my head if it is the same era of those that carved the arrowheads, you know, the really old ones. But yeah, it predates the Native Americans that would have been in this region. And it's important to note we have an exact replica and a photograph of the original because it was claimed by the Smithsonian. And recently as 2 years ago, inquiries were made about it, and they still say they have it, but it is currently misplaced.
Reason I brought that up, William, is because when I looked at that, you know, if you were an Indian or Native American back in those days, and you were to see one of these creatures, that's
right.
How you'd probably be able to carve it out. Folks, this looks like a monster. It looks like a creature, you know, in some shape or form. And it just proves to me that these creatures have been around longer than we have. In most Native American lore, it goes back for thousands of years. Go ahead, William.
Well, no, I was going to say, I just remembered that culture, Clovis.
Yes.
Clovis. So it is very old, this idol. Yeah. And it is. It is haunting. It is human-esque, but it's rough hewn, and it does have a monster-esque quality to it. Absolutely.
No, I mean, look at the head. I mean, the shoulders are wide and huge like the creatures, you know? That's what
you're slightly misformed, yeah.
Like Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Man.
Well,
yeah.
and we've spoke of this before. Like when we decided to on display, there were mixed feelings expressed in the community. Let's say, and many people just wondering, in a sense, what does it have to do with our history? And you know, besides the fact that it was hidden there, like that's where you took it, that's where you left it for those 10 years. Well, that ties it to our area, but at the same time, too, the mythos and the Bigfoot story, like you're saying, goes back. And the pioneers had these experiences and these sightings and these descriptions. The Native Americans absolutely did, you know. And so it is part of our cultural heritage in Appalachia, you know. It is part of our story.
Absolutely. The area, folks, up there, we actually did some investigating, and we actually took William out with us. Why don't you go to
yes.
the 6 minutes of the show to let the folks know about our little outing, and then get your last little plug in, and we're going to move on to my next guest after that, Francis Beale, talking about Native Americans and lore of Bigfoot. Go ahead, William.
Well, we were, I had the opportunity to go out with you guys and Neil Williams from Tri-State Paranormal Investigators, and earlier in the show, I speaking of parafooting, and I was thinking, well, in a sense, that's what we did, wasn't it? excuse me. We had the Tri-State Paranormal equipment. You guys had your basic kit, and we went to the top of Fondy Mountain in Middlesboro. And a total of 3 days. A lot of interesting experiences. I don't know if there was anything definitive. Seemed like we had responses to calls and even some knocking, but slightly populated area. There are people within sound range of where we were. But overall, the experience and being able to experience exactly how you do that, and in comparison to remind back to what you guys were talking about earlier in the paranormal aspect, the two are so different, but yet there's a similarity, there's a familiarity to it. And I was thinking about that while you were talking to the gentleman that you guys had done that with on a fuller level. But even nature out there, you know, and the hostility of it all, it was an experience being out there.
Absolutely. Folks, you got to get over to Middlesboro. I'm sure William wants to see you. Go ahead and tell them where it's at. Let them know your number so if they want to call you and set up an appointment to come see you personally. And let's get some more advertising up for that.
Right on, man. Come see us. We'd love to show you the Bigfoot and all our other bits of history. A lot of cool stuff we have. We are in Middlesboro, Kentucky, Bell County, and we are at North 20th Street, 207 North 20th Street. Yeah. And our hours are 10 to 4, Tuesday through Friday, and 11 to 3 on Saturday. And we have a website, BellCountyHistoricalSociety.com, and we are on Facebook in same, Bell County Historical Society. And come visit us. Absolutely. Come see it.
Awesome. William, thanks for being on tonight. Folks, I'm going to bring
you
in to our next guest. He's a Native American from Montana up at the Blackfeet Nation. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Francis.
Yeah, this is Francis. Yeah.
How are you today, Francis?
Good. Just listening to your show.
Outstanding. Well, you know,
I don't think we met when I was up there, Francis. But you were on our webpage.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about your encounter, and then I'd like you to explain a little bit about Bigfoot, the lore of the creature, what it means to you if you see it.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting feedback. I'm just going to be quiet. It's all yours.
August 8th, and it was probably about, I think it was about 8 o'clock in the evening. I was taking a ride up in mountains. About 13 miles from here, from Browning, and was taking a ride up, you know, with my family and my niece. Her name's Mariah, and we just happened to pull over about 8. It was about 8 o'clock, and I don't know. We were just standing there, looking. Looking over like at that looking glass, and I called my niece Mariah to. You know, holler like, you know, like a Bigfoot, how we think they'd sound, and she made a holler, like a howling sound, and then a couple of seconds later, we got a holler back, and we just all looked at each other, it was kind of scary, kind of creepy a little bit, and we stood there looking around, and then we heard it again after she made a second holler, and she hollered again, then we heard another holler after that, and I know, it's kind of shocking. It's kind of scary. I mean, that was my first time ever hearing something to sound like, something like that. I don't know. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
Why don't you explain to my audience how the Native Americans look at this creature as a spiritual guide, or is it something that's taboo, or is it something that physical.
It's kind of like the spirit world, kind of like, you know, like a messenger, like a brother to the Native Americans. You know, like each tribe have a different different beliefs. But, you know, like my beliefs on the Blackfeet Reservation is they're like brothers, and they're close to Mother Earth, close to nature. No. You know, you can't be scared of them. If you see them, a lot of people, they get scared and, you know, they'll run, but it's just like, you know, they could be sending like a message that, like,
but to
it
you
could be good or bad.
It's a good omen, right?
Yeah, it's good. And a lot of people, they get scared, they run. You can't run from them. You just gotta, you know, it kind of sounds crazy down here. They're coming at you, but, you know, in a Native American way, you can't be scared of them. I mean, that's just our belief, and that's my belief here
so
on the Black Reservation.
Would you say that there are more sightings on the reservation than there are off of the reservation, Francis?
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know, thinking about it, I was kind of getting, I don't know, it's almost kind of scary thinking about them. But then you can be scared of them. I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, but I don't know, they're just like the brother to the reservation, you know.
How long has
like
the creature been in the oral history of the Black Feet?
Probably centuries, you know. For like years, thousands, yeah, like I mean, since the beginning of time, and that's the belief, you know, what we have, what we believe in. Yeah.
So you know, we were at the Blackfeet Nation here on our last expedition, and we didn't get a chance to meet, obviously.
Yeah. I was talking to you. I think your brother is it Tom? I think.
Yes.
Or TJ, or, yeah. I was talking to him, and you guys stopped up at the. You guys are looking for that footprint, that prehistoric footprint. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember now.
I think you guys were with Bruce at that time. Yeah.
That prehistoric footprint is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. And folks,
yeah.
You can see that.
Yeah.
That's on our Searching for Bigfoot page.
Yeah.
On Facebook. And yeah. This is probably 18 inches long, 9 at the toes, and 4 at the heel. It's in solid rock. So at some point in time, it must have been mud and it petrified and solid up. I mean, just amazing. And tell my listeners what that symbolizes to you. Why did you guys put the fence up around it? I remember there was lots of coins thrown inside of it, like it was you were gifting it to something.
Yeah. It's just like a sacred place, you know, like a lot of outsiders don't get to see that kind of stuff. And
Do many people don't know about
it. It's just like an offering, kind of like an offering.
Oh, okay. So the coins were offerings.
Yeah, like to the Bigfoot and in the spirit world.
So, I'm sure you talk with other people around the reservation about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And would you say that the creature's seen often, or is it only certain times a year? When's the creature seen mostly? Because I heard there's a lot of powwows going on.
Like spring, summertime, usually, you know, like a lot of people will see sightings, but, you know, there's a lot more people up here that see them, but they just don't report them. I mean, you know, because it's like a.
Wow.
No, like.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Just spring, summertime, when a lot of people see them, you know.
And just don't really report them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, folks,
like,
we're getting time close to that time again. Francis, I want you to stay in touch. I want you to keep letting us know what's going on, and hopefully we can have you on in a future show. And remember, check us out on our Facebook page, Searching for Bigfoot. We also got searchforbigfoot.com. Marco's Rocky out there.
Hey.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Well, you know, it's been a few weeks. We got a minute here or so left, and I wanted to bring you in and see if you've gotten down to that gentleman down in Alabama or a few hours away from you over there in Arkansas, that police officer that had that creature run out in front of his vehicle, and see what's going on to keep us up to date.
I haven't had a chance to get down there and talk to him. I've been very, very busy at the restaurant, and I haven't had a chance to get loose. Nor have I called him because I haven't, like I say, I don't see any time in the real close future that I'm going to be able to make it out there to see him.
Okay.
But I'm not, done with him yet. I'm going to get in touch with him just as soon as I see some, get a little breathing room there at the restaurant. School starting and all that, we've just been crazy busy.
Gotcha. Well, folks, we're going to have Rocky on next week. He's going to talk about a few of his encounters, so make sure you tune in. Folks, searching for Bigfoot.com. Don't forget to check out our Facebook web page. It's also on Searching for Bigfoot. And next week, we're going to start our show off with Mr. Rocky Slavin, who's going to talk about his very first encounter. I hope you will, Rocky. His very first encounter. And stay tuned. See you next week. Marco Bill, take it away. All you footers, keep on searching.
Everybody, we'll see everybody next week. Keep the Bigfoot alive and keep Bigfooting. Take care now. Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We're falling together.